Hallelujah. There was an old farmer sitting on his front porch, and a visitor came by to talk to him and went up to this old farmer, and he said, so how's your cotton fields coming? The old farmer looked at him. He says, ain't got none. Afraid of the old boll weevil. He said, well, then how's your corn field coming along? He said, didn't plant any. Afraid of the old drought. He said, well, then how's your potato fields coming? Didn't plant any of those either. Afraid of the old tater bugs. He says, well, did you plant anything? He goes, nah, I'm just playing it safe. Today, we're going to be talking about an area and a subject that affects every single one of us, especially in this society we live in today. This is an area that not only affects your mind, it affects your spirit, it affects your body, and this is the area of fear and worry. No matter what happens in life, we need to come to the conclusion that God is in control and He's with us and He will always be with us. Fear is not God's best for you. Did you hear me? I said fear is not God's best for you. Today we have so many opportunities to allow fear to come into our lives. We're worried about the swine flu. We've got the economy. We've got the government. We worry about losing our jobs. We worry about our children. We worry about our families. We worry about our health. We worry about so many things in our life. We worry so much. But the key to our success is how we respond to worry. How we respond to worry. I'd like to share with you some disturbing facts regarding anxiety and worry. The Anxiety Disorders Association of America tells us, for example, that anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., well affecting over 40 million adults. We're told that in recent years, anxiety disorders cost the U.S. more than $42 billion a year. It is said that approximately 112 million adults take medication for stress-related symptoms. Medical research has discovered some interesting facts about stress in the human body. Medical research has determined that the body does not distinguish between physical and psychological threats. So when you're stressed over a busy schedule, an argument with a friend, a traffic jam, or a mountain of bills, your body reacts just as strongly as if you were facing a life or death situation. And if you have a lot of responsibilities and worries, your emergency stress response may be on all the time. Chronic stress disrupts nearly every system in your body. It can raise blood pressure, suppress the immune system, increase risk of heart attack, stroke, contribute to infertility, speed up the aging process. Long-term stress can leave you more vulnerable to anxiety and depression. It can cause digestive problems, obesity, depression, and skin problems. It is estimated that 1 million workers are absent on the average workday because of stress-related complaints. To some degree or another, we worry. The ignorant worry because they don't know enough. The knowledgeable worry about knowing too much. The poor worry about not having enough, and the rich worry about losing what they already have. The young worry about facing life, and the old worry about facing death. My research this week, I came across a very intriguing article about fog. If you take fog, a blanket of fog covering 7 city blocks and is 100 feet deep, it is equivalent to 1 8-ounce glass of water. In other words, condense all the fog 100 feet deep in a 7-block area and you will roughly have 1 8-ounce glass of water. While we surround ourselves with the fog of worry, if we were to condense all of our worries into their true size and space, it wouldn't really amount to very much. It is told that 60% of our worries are unfounded. 20% of our worries on the average American, 20% of our worries are behind us, 10% are so petty it wouldn't make a difference if you found a way to fix it or not, and only 5% of most of our worries we can do anything about and are real. Kind of reminds me of an acronym I heard on fear. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Another person said, fear is interest paid in advance on something you may never own. That's worry. The Bible says that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. Fear equals unbelief. It brings sin and death, belongs to the kingdom of darkness, and ties the hand of God. You see, fear entered this world in the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, Adam and Eve, it was right after the fall, and Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves and hid themselves. And God walked in the garden and he called out for Adam, and Adam hid himself, and finally God found Adam and said, Adam, where were you? And Adam said these words that have tormented us ever since. He said, I hid myself because I was afraid. Adam was afraid. Fear entered into the world. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Let me tell you something. You know, the Webster's Dictionary, it's amazing. The Webster's Dictionary defines worry to choke or strangle. Fear is fed to us through television, newspapers, radio, magazines. There's so much opportunity. You hear the swine flu. You know, the media has taken that thing and has just exploited it. And we've all eaten right into it. And yet the flu virus itself, just the regular flu virus, kills 40,000 people a year. And we don't even think about that one. My wife and I were watching television the other day, and in 30 seconds, five things showed up that I could have worried about. In 30 seconds on television, we feed ourselves. The Bible says, don't put any evil thing in front of your eyes. These things, we feed ourselves this. So today, I have titled this message, Conquering Fear and Embracing Kingdom Life. Conquering Fear and Embracing Kingdom Life. How many of you are here and are ready to conquer fear in your life once and for all? How many of you are sick and tired of being sick and tired? Your circumstances right now do not determine your future. If you've been knocked down, it's time to get back up. Listen, Christians should only be in two positions. Either up or getting up. The enemy may have a plan to take you out, but God has a plan to keep you in. In the midst of opposition, we need to begin to speak words of faith over our family, over our finances, and over our health. Amen. Open up your Bible with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to hear a story about a man, a king, the king of Judah. His name was Jehoshaphat. Reigned in Judah for 25 years and brought a lot of reformation to the children of Israel. I'm going to jump around just a little bit so I don't want you to get lost. So open your Bibles to Chronicles chapter 20, 1 through 9. And it happened after that day, verse 1. That the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, then came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple in the presence of your name in this temple and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. Here Jehoshaphat was right in the midst of opposition. He was facing the three armies. He was facing the Ammon, the Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir. They were coming against him. And Jehoshaphat could have freaked out. He could have grabbed all his people together and said, what are we going to do? And got all worried about it. But instead, he brought God into the picture. And he called God and he said, hey, God, listen. Look at, you're this God. You've done all these great and mighty things. You've taken the captives and you've healed the sick. You've taken us and you've ruled over us. And aren't you an awesome God? And they begin to talk to God. See, the first step in conquering fear and embracing kingdom life, number one, is to understand your relationship with God. We need to understand our relationship with God. 1 John 4:15-18, it says, whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he is in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he that abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, he that fears has not been made perfect in love. The first step is understanding our relationship with God. God dwells inside of us. The power of God dwells inside of us. God lives with us. You are his sons and you are his daughters. See, King Jehoshaphat called all the people together and they declared a day of fasting and prayer. And King Jehoshaphat called on God to deliver him, and he brought God into the picture. It's during the battle that we don't give into fear, but we press into faith. You see, fear focuses on the problem, but faith focuses on the solution. Is that right? In 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Word of God says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There is no weapon formed against you shall prosper. All things are possible. God can move through you. If you truly believe that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and the power of God lives in you, all things are possible. We need to learn to draw near to God. The Bible says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you, and resist the devil and he will flee. What was the first thing King Jehoshaphat did is he drew near to God. There was a pilot in the early years of aviation. And he was flying around the world and in this little small plane, and he landed on a landing strip to pick up some supplies before he can go on to the next destination. So he got on his plane after he picked up his supplies and he took off. And about 2 hours into the flight, he started hearing a funny noise underneath him. Tried to figure out exactly what that noise was, and it finally dawned on him. That was the sound of a rat gnawing on some kind of cable underneath him. He started getting anxious and worried about what it might be. Maybe he's gnawing on a cable that helps with the controls. He didn't know what to do, and he was already 2 hours into the flight, and it was 2 hours before he got to his destination, and he wasn't quite sure what to do. Then it dawned on him that this rat is a rodent. And rodents live on the ground or underneath the ground. They're not meant to live in the sky, in the atmosphere. So he began to climb. And he went 1,000 feet up, and then another 1,000 feet. And then another 1,000 feet until he was 25,000 feet in the air and the sound stopped. Finally, he came in for a landing. He got out of the airplane and he opened up the compartment underneath him. And there was that rodent. It was dead. You see, worry is a rodent. It gnaws at you. Keeps on picking at you. But a rodent cannot live in the secret place of the Most High God. Worry cannot live in the secret place. It cannot live in the atmosphere of faith. Worry and faith cannot coexist. It's one or the other. So King Jehoshaphat drew near to God and God drew near to him. He called on God in regards to his covenant. See, God keeps his covenant. The promises of God dwell in us. His word dwells in us. His power dwells in us. His presence dwells in us. He is in us and we are in him. No matter what's going on in your life, God is with us to fight our battles with us. So there's no fear. I know economy's tough and we're all facing certain things in our life. But what are you going to focus on? What are you going to look at? I was in children's church once and I put up a big white, just a PowerPoint with a white screen. And on that screen I put a little itty bitty dot. And I asked all the kids, what do you see on that screen? They all said, I see a dot. There's a big old white screen and all they see is the dot. That's what we do a lot. There's a big God and we focus on that little thing. Listen, quit focusing on the potholes and enjoy the journey. And what God has given us. Kind of reminds me of the story of Elisha and Gehazi. Elisha was with his servant Gehazi. And they were being chased by the king of Syria was after them. And they ran into the city of Dothan. And there they were. And they were hiding out. And the servant of Elisha got up in the morning. He walked outside. And all around the city, the armies that were after them surrounded them. Horses and chariots. Gehazi ran back into the house and he went up to Elisha and he said, hey, the chariots and the horses are around us. What are we going to do? And Elisha looked at him. He says, don't worry. There's more for us than against us. And he prayed and he says, Lord, open the eyes of my servant that he may see. And Gehazi walked back outside and there were the horses. But behind the horses were the angels of God and the chariots of fire. Elisha knew that God was with him. Elisha had a relationship with God and therefore he did not fear anything because Elisha knew that he was a servant of God. In the midst of the battle, we need to realize that the battle belongs to the Lord. We need to stop worrying about our circumstances so much that we stop praising him for all that he's done. I made a statement a while back. Someone was asking me about some situations in my life. And I said, you know, if God never did another thing for me, from the day I gave my heart to him at that altar, and I gave my life to him, and he forgave me of all my sins, and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, if he never did another thing for me, that's enough. That's good enough. He doesn't have to do anything else. I'll just serve him all the days of my life knowing that I'm going to heaven. We need to come to the realization that we are in fellowship with God and he loves us. And we are his sons and we are his daughters. Number two, in conquering fear and embracing kingdom life, is we need to understand the promises of God. The promises of God and what he has for us. Go with me if you can to the book of Psalms 91. Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I say of the Lord, he is my refuge and he is my fortress. In my God, in him I will put my trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence, and shall cover you with his feathers. And under his wings you shall take refuge. And his truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noontime. 1,000 may fall at the right side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. These are his promises. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling place. He shall give angels to charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. They shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love on me. Therefore I will deliver him. And I will set him on high because he has known my name, and he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Conquering fear is knowing God's promises. These are yours. These are your promises. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. You guys all remember that song? These are His promises. There was a farmer. I'm back with the farmer again. Different farmer this time. He had a big cornfield. And he had this goose. And this goose had a whole set of goslings. A little baby goose. So, goslings. Is that right? Goslings? Okay, I'll say goslings. The teacher has corrected me. Goslings. So this goose with her babies used to walk out into the cornfield, and it would go into the cornfield and it would just kind of walk around every single day. And one day the goose and the little goslings were walking into the cornfield, and all of a sudden the mother looked up and noticed there was smoke all around. She took her babies and she began to go to the right, and she noticed there was more smoke on the other side. She went to the left and there was more smoke on that side. She didn't know what she was going to do. A fire had broken out in the farm and had engulfed the cornfield. Next thing you know, the fire came right through everything and just destroyed it all. The next day, the farmer got up and he went out to check out his damages. And as he's checking on his damages, he looks through the cornfield, and off in the distance, he sees a little pile of ashes. He kind of thought, I wonder what that is. He wasn't quite sure, so he walked up to it. Walked up to this pile of ashes, and he kicks it over. And underneath, these little baby goose came running out. You see, Mama didn't run away when trouble came. Mama stood there with them and covered them. She sacrificed herself for their life. God's not going to run away. God's right there. We're under the shadow of Him. Almighty Abba Father covers us and protects us. So whether you're going through an economic crisis at home, losing your home, losing your job, whatever situation is taking place in your life, know this, that God is right there. And He's covered you. And He loves you. He cares about you so much. Philippians 4:19. The Word of God says that my God shall supply all your needs. How much of your needs? All your needs. It's funny. You know what? One thing I just want to take a side note. I was talking to my wife the other day, and she counsels women and she encourages them and talks to them about, you know, the Word of God. And when they're going through troubles times, she's a great person to just talk to. And she's a great communicator and just edifies them and builds them up. And it's funny as many of us can be that way when it's someone else's problem. Right? Oh, it's someone else's problem. We have the right verse for them. We have the right scripture for them. We know exactly how to tell them how to get out of their problem and to pray. And Jesus is with you, and you get Holy Ghost on them and you lay hands on them. And hallelujah, brother. We're going to pray for you. But then the problem comes your way and you're like, oh. What do I do? What happened? Not that my wife does that. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Listen, I remember I had this job and I wasn't making hardly any money. And my wife and I got a tax income check. And I remember getting this check, and my wife was all excited because we were going to pay off some bills. And it wasn't a lot of money. It was like $1,200. And we didn't make a lot of money back then. And so we were all excited. And for some of us, that's a lot of money. You know, I'm not trying to say it's not. It was, you know, a lot of money to us. And so we looked at that. We thought, man, we could do this. We could do that. And God spoke to me. He said, empty yourself out and I will fill you up. So I walked up to my wife. I felt like Abraham going to his wife saying, we got to sacrifice the son that you just had, that you waited for. I bet you Abraham had to shake a little before he told his wife that. So I walked up to Heather and I said, listen, God spoke to me. What did he say? God wants me to give this check into the offering. And she was in agreement. We prayed about it and we dropped that check right into the offering. We said, hallelujah. A week later, they started having layoffs at my job. I walked into the workplace. I thought, hey, you know what? Shoot, I gave $1,200 in the offering. I'm not getting laid off. Guess who was the first one to get laid off? I get laid off. I go home. I'm boo. I'm all in a mess. Thinking, where's God? God, why did you put me through this? We gave to you. But a week went by, and I got a phone call. It's for this old, it was from the University of Riverside. A job application I had put in like 6 months ago. They hired somebody else because I got a letter that says, you're not hired, we hired someone else. I pick up the phone, and this lady on the other side says, is this Mr. Flores? And I said, yes. She goes, about 6 months ago, you put in an application, and do you remember that? I said, yeah, absolutely. She said, well, the person that we hired instead of you came in on Monday morning and just quit. Decided to go back to school. And I thought, oh, okay. She goes, would you like the job? I said, absolutely. So I went to the place of employment and I filled out all the paperwork. And I said, well, how much am I going to get paid? And we went through the process. And, you know, I was going to make $1,200 more a month. Now, wait a minute. I didn't get all excited. I said, I should have gave more. Conquering fear and embracing the kingdom life. Number three, we need to understand our God-given authority. King Jehoshaphat responded to the threats. If you go with me back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, we're going to finish the story here. We're going to go to verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army, saying, praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. And now when they began to sing to praise, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammons, the Moabs, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir, who came against Judah, and they were defeated. You see, what happened is all of a sudden they began to fight one another and destroy one another. King Jehoshaphat decided, hey, you know what? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood here. The battle belongs to God. We're just going to go praise him. We're just going to worship him. Hey, instead of sitting at home and worrying about it, you need to start praising him. And start worrying. That's how you fight this battle. You begin to worship God in your circumstances. Because the Bible said God wants you to take action. The enemy wants to steal God's promises from you. But you need to rise up and take action. God has given you authority. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. And King Jehoshaphat did not just sit and wait. He took action. He fought a spiritual battle. We need to learn to praise our way to victory. Luke 10:19 says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. In Isaiah 41:10 it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. We need to learn to cast our cares on Jesus. We need to be a people that will not be bound by the spirit of fear. We need to change our thinking. Did you know that the word repent means to change your thinking? We need to change our thinking. we need to learn to discipline our mind in the midst of trials and tribulation, in the midst of fear, and speak faith into our circumstances. For every circumstance, God is the answer. I didn't say there's an answer in God. I said for every circumstance, God is the answer. For every circumstance, if you have a fear of not having enough, He is Al Shaddai, the God of more than enough. If you have a fear of sickness and disease, He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. You have a fear of failure, He is Jehovah Nisi, the banner of victory. If you need peace, He is Jehovah Shalom, the Prince of Peace. If you have a fear of being alone, He is Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. Fear not, for God is with you. We need to walk by faith. We need to live in faith. Talk with faith. We are no longer worriers. We are warriors in God's kingdom. It's time to shut up the devil and go forward in kingdom living. Amen. So what did we learn today? We conquer fear and embrace kingdom living. Number one, by understanding our relationship with God. You are a child of the King of Kings. Number two, in conquering fear and embracing kingdom living, is understand His promises. And number three, understand your God-given authority. Did you get something from God tonight?